I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People.
It's time of the preacher. In the year of 01. Now the lesson is over. And the killing's begun.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People. A preacher podcast for eight more weeks, maybe. We're 8 weeks away from the premiere of Mr. Robot season 3.
So I don't think there's 8 more weeks of Preacher left.
That's why I was like, maybe I'm wrong about that. Are there 13 episodes?
It's around 12, so maybe 13.
And we're on episode 7. We're discussing episode 6, Sokotia? Sure. And episode 7, Pig. So, spoilers for Preacher, if you're not watching the show. I'm pulling it up.
Piggy.
I'm pulling it up on IMDb to see.
The pig thing was funny to me. Like, when I saw the title, I was like, pig? Really? It's about cops?
Nope, it's kind of about a pig. So, we've got 13 episodes in season 2 set to end on September 11th. And Mr. Robot season 3 will be
premiering. Ooh, it's a conspiracy. 9/11.
I swear. I had the premiere date in October 11th, so we're going to be a month shy, so we'll probably not be podcasting for a month, just because all the other stuff is coming back.
I have a couple of things we can talk about, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then we might do
something. I got a movie called Silicon Cowboys. Looks kind of good. Documentary. Mm-hmm. Guess what it's about.
the internet?
It's about, I think it, who is it, IBM? That tried to, yeah, they were the latecomers, right? IBM?
I think so.
Over Apple and, Microsoft.
Yeah. So it's basically like that show that we stopped watching.
yeah, but it's a movie, so you don't have to watch 10 seasons of it.
It's actually the last season this year of
what is it? Season 5
of God, it's
Halt and Catch Fire.
I kept wanting to say something about burning.
I nailed it. He forgot it. I nailed it.
yeah, it's the last season. I think it's season 4 of Halt and Catch Fire. Maybe season 5. So, but the trailers don't make me want to go back and rewatch it. And I kind of lost interest about halfway through season 1. So, amazingly enough, though, I pretty much binge watch all of season 2 of Winona Earp. So
really,
yeah, Halt and Catch Fire doesn't hold my interest. Winona Earp, really stupid, goofy show, and I binge watch. Well, I say not all of season 2, but all the episodes that are out. They still have like 3 or 4 more episodes. So, it's really, really goofy, but it's so much fun. So, but we're not here to talk about Winona Earp, which is based on a comic book. We're here to talk about another show based on a comic book, Preacher. See, I've already said the episode. So, if you haven't watched it, don't listen any further. We're going to spoil it. Lots of spoiler stuff in these 2 episodes. So, Yeah, I guess we can get into it. We're probably going to be all over the place since we're once again talking about two episodes. Something I didn't want to do, but keeps happening. But you know, it's whatever.
Is what it is.
We'll catch up eventually. So last time I said, "No, we're caught up. We're gonna stay," and then we wound up not being able to record for a week. So we got two episodes behind. So I actually just watched Pig, so it's really, really fresh in my memory. Sakosha, or however you say it. It's been about a week since I watched it, so it's not so fresh in my memory.
Well, yeah, I watched that 3 times, so it's pretty, it's pretty.
It's a good episode to watch 3 times. We get kind of the quote unquote final showdown between Jesse and the Saint of Killers, which involves Jesse selling a, well, extracting a piece of his soul and giving it to the Saint of Killers, because it turns out that's what he's after. He wants to get to heaven to see his family, and he can't get to heaven because he sold his soul. So, for, I guess, revenge? Either way, he can't go to heaven because he has no soul. So Jesse makes a deal with him to give him a piece of his soul and, then send him to heaven. So, and of course, it doesn't turn out like, the saint wants it to turn out.
Which I thought was just great, actually. I mean, it was kind of sad and somber at the same time, but that's what you get, right? I mean, he deserved it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a catch 22, but I mean, they paint the picture from the get go. He was never the nicest guy, and that's kind of what Jesse lays down, right? That, like, did you ever think you were gonna get to heaven? You murdered people. You fought for the Confederacy. You, not that that has anything to do with getting to heaven, but I mean, you were kind of on the wrong side of history and, killed a lot of people. Did you think you were going to go to heaven? And at the end, the saint says, fine, send me to hell, but I'm taking a piece of you with me. And did
Yeah, that
you?
kind of gets Jesse to rethink what he was gonna do in the first place.
Yeah, what did you think of, like, did you want them to just be done with this?
Kind of, but I appreciated the fact that they weren't. I don't know, it was kind of like, okay, this is over, but I also appreciated the fact that it's not. Like, this is not over. He's just delaying whatever is coming.
So there's this whole, it's kind of a double-edged sword. There's this whole trope, especially with superhero or kind of fantastical type stories, where at the end, like, you got to kill the villain. You have to, so they can't come back. But the problem is, when it's a really, really great character, if you kill the villain, then if you made him so great, people want him to come back. So
So
then you're
then you have
stuck
to
with
figure
the,
out how to bring him back, right?
right, which, can sometimes be interesting, but oftentimes, especially if you do it repeatedly, just is kind of taxing and boring to a degree. But there's also the flip side of that, of when, like, you see it in horror movies a lot, but just movies in general, when you have somebody down for the count, like when you have them dead to rights and you don't take the proverbial shot, they're gonna come back and bite you in the ass. Like, every single time. You know, it's a horror movie trope, you know. Oh, the killer's down, so I'm gonna run the other way. No, the killer's down, pick up the axe and cut his head off. You know, that's what you do. You know, I know people probably aren't always comfortable with chopping other people's heads off, but if somebody's out to kill you, when you have them down and out, take care of it. So the interesting way around that premise is by him having a piece of Jesse's soul and that going to hell. So Jesse is basically sending a piece of himself to hell if he sends the saint back. And that's, you know, that's not really something you want to do. And it's not something, like, he doesn't know the consequences of that. So the saint can't die. And he's got a soul now, so maybe he can die. No, he can't die. The soul just gets him into heaven, so I guess.
If he could die, he would die of suffocation right inside the...
So Jesse puts him in this armored car, seals it up, and pushes it into a swamp.
What? Actually, he doesn't have to seal it up. It's already, I mean, soundproof, waterproof.
Well, yeah.
That was proven when he's trying to scream through the...
Yeah. And pushes it into a swamp that has a name that will come back. So...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the...
No, I didn't even pay attention.
It actually got mentioned earlier in the episode. Let's see. I'm looking for the... let's see. Dadgummit. Sorry, I was looking for... I can't remember the freaking name of it, and I know I should know, but, you know, unfortunately, I don't remember, everything, so there's that. Anyway, so before all that happens, because we kind of just jumped to the end of the episode, the saint is basically hunting them down. And we find out some things about Cassidy that, were you shocked?
No.
So, it turns out...
I knew it was his dad or his uncle or something. The son part was kind of, wow... But it made sense. So.
Yeah, so it turns out that Dennis, who they've been staying with, is actually Cassidy's son. So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. Like, it puts all of the things we've seen in the last few episodes into this, like, weird other perspective, and it's Angelville is the name of it. So there you go. I looked it up and I should have remembered, but yeah, that's gonna it's gonna come in much later. It has to do with Jesse's past, so, which struck me as odd that, like, he would even go in that direction, considering his past and what we'll find out. I mean, we already know a little. Like, we saw his dad get executed in season one. Like, we know that. But there's so much other stuff So it was like when I saw the sign, I was like, why would he go back there? But I guess he knew that that was a place that nobody would go looking for the Saint of Killers. So, and I guess he just hiked his way back into New Orleans, because I don't think it's a short walk. But yeah, Cassidy's son, that was, it was the way they revealed it was really, really kind of nice and understated. It wasn't like a big, like dun dun dun. If you've been paying attention, you could probably kind of figure it out. But yeah, I really, really liked the way Joseph Gilgan played the moment. He's turning into just like such a good, I don't want to say such a good actor, because he is a good actor. He always was a good actor. But the understated stuff, like he's good in these like big flamboyant moments. Like he was on this show, I've talked about it before, but he was on this British show about kids with superpowers. And he was great, but he was kind of like Cassidy. Like everything he did was like kind of big and grandiose, and it was always like running his mouth off, and it was just whatever. But to see him do, it's kind of like, no, he's my son, and I'm kind of a shit father. So, which comes back in the second episode. And then we've got Tulip Showdown with the Saint of Killers, which again comes back in the second episode, because she keeps having nightmares about this this guy coming to kill her, apparently. So, and Jesse being Jesse is just like, whatever, he's gone now, so I don't know why you're worried about it. Which I kind of like that we're getting bits and pieces of the not so fantastic Jesse. Like we saw that in the flashbacks, right? Where we
Yeah.
just sit around all day and do nothing. So.
Yeah, just the nonchalant, like, whatever. Kind of.
Like, yeah, that's your problem, and I can't fix it, so you're on your own. So the second episode, which, like I said, is fresher in my mind, deals, well, I mean, I guess before we move on, like, what did you think about the soul stuff? Too much, or.
No, because I don't know the family business, but it seems to be.
Yeah, when Tulip asks him how he knows so much about it, and he's like, family business. So.
Seems to be somewhat tied to family business. So, not that they're into buying or selling souls, but obviously, the family business knows about this, so.
I looked it up to see what it meant, and I couldn't find anything. Sakosha, Sakasha, or
I took it as Sekosha, so.
But yeah, the family business is, again, it's 'cause I read the book, so I can't really speculate on anything 'cause I know what he's talking about. But yeah, it's gonna be fun in a messed up way when we meet Jesse's family. So, I can't wait for that. I honestly thought that we might wind up getting some more of that this season, but I don't think we will. I think the rest of the season we're gonna be focused on the new villain for this year, which is Star, who gets properly introduced in the the next episode, which was I think my favorite episode of the season so far.
It was good. I can't say it was my favorite, but I can say so far it was my favorite. So,
well, that's what I just said.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm saying.
It was just kind of. It was good. I don't know. The last two episodes both are about equal.
I mean, I love the stuff with the Saina Killers, and I love the way they kind of dispatch him and kind of wash their hands of it, at least for the time being, because you gotta know that you don't put him at the bottom of a freaking... It's like, which Friday the 13th movie was it, where they chain Jason up and put him at the bottom of the lake?
You got me. Seven.
No, it wasn't Seven. You know what I'm talking about, though?
Well, in the first episode, or the first episode, the first movie.
I know he's at the bottom of the lake. But it's like the fourth one or something. It's called, like, the final chapter or something. With a chain of rock to him.
I think that's five.
Are you sure?
I think five is the final.
I thought five was a new beginning. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, you don't chain somebody up and push them to the bottom of a lake, a supernatural being, and not expect them to come back eventually. So, you know, but that was basically Jesse's way of going, this is a problem I'll deal with in the future, not right now. So, which I did like, but Star is like top 10 comic book villains of all time. And it's, I don't want to say it's easy to get the Saint of Killers right, but what you need is a dude that looks menacing in a cowboy outfit, looks a little bit like Clint Eastwood, can do this 100-yard death stare, knows how to point a gun, you know, and make it look convincing, and then just don't have him say anything. You know, it's all in the atmosphere for the Saint of Killers. Like, it's everything that's around him. You know, you just gotta have a guy that can just stand there and look menacing. But for Star, you have to have somebody who is, like, is evil, that, like, exudes evil, but at the same time is kind of cool, but is also, like, looks like somebody you could probably take in a fight, but then when he kills somebody, you totally believe it. Like, it's a tough, like, juggling act to get that character right. Because he could easily come off as somebody who doesn't, who's not, I don't want to say not a bad guy, but not necessarily like a bad guy, but is just kind of like tripping his way into this. And you can't have that. You have to have somebody that really, you know, can push around all these other people and not have it look like, why are they letting this pipsqueak dude, like, do this to him? And it comes off absolutely perfect in the episode. It might be my favorite episode of the show, period. I'm guessing no for you. Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's good, but no, it's just not.
So,
I mean,
I mean, does he, did the character not do anything for you?
yeah, but it was more informative than anything else. I mean,
You didn't think it was total badass? Like in the worst villainous way possible?
I enjoyed it, like him killing the dude that, I mean, when they, there was a lot of stuff that was great. I don't know. I mean, I just didn't think it was the greatest.
I think you're wrong. I mean, the test that they have to go through, like all of that was fantastic. You know, he's just like when they do the art of seduction test, and he sits down with the woman, and he's like, "Give me the microfiche, or I kill you and your whole family." It's like
I mean,
seduction. I don't do seduction.
I enjoyed all of it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was great. I just didn't. I don't know. It just felt so planned out that it just didn't hit me that way. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe it's just because I'm such a fan of the character in the books. The white suit looks freaking amazing. It's perfect. He pushes that dude off the balcony. I mean, I knew it was gonna happen, and it's still, I laughed because it like shocked me into laughter. So, and like when somebody steps off a curb and gets hit by a bus, and you're just like, oh. I didn't like in the movies, not in real life. You know, like, I didn't see that coming. But I mean, I knew it was coming, and it just the way he does it, just so smoothly, just whoop over the balcony. That dude's dead. He's taking his place. So, that was most of the episode was Star, which I appreciated.
It's not that I enjoyed it. I really did. I just kind of felt like it was, I don't know. It felt like I already knew it was going to happen. So, I don't know. Just me, I guess.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't, I don't know what to say to any of that. There's nothing really to, like, there's no point you're giving me to debate. So.
I really don't have a point to debate. It was just like, as it was happening, I kind of knew everything that was going to happen afterwards. I felt like he was the badass. He was the, kind of felt like, yeah, I had already watched this before in another series. Killjoys, Dark Matters.
Well, I don't watch that series, so.
Yeah, I know. It just kind of felt like I had already watched that before. It wasn't bad, though. I mean, I don't want
Okay, well, I
anybody
mean, I
to.
don't want to keep harping on it, so we can talk about something else, so.
No, I thought it was good. It just felt like I had already seen it before. So.
Okay. Well, the rest of the episode is them scamming those people for the money, which was kind of funny. And then
No,
two going
that
back.
I thought was freaking awesome. So.
We're inching ever closer to Jesse finding out that Tulip and Cassidy have slept together. Which I know is coming. There's scenes in the trailer where Jesse says some like really harsh stuff to Cassidy in like the season trailer that kind of gives all that away. But so I feel like that's probably where we're going towards the end of the season. And her going back and then doing the vest thing, kind of facing down death, I guess. I mean, it was all right, but see, that I felt like it was predictable. Like her going back, I was like, eh, I kind of saw that coming. Jesse having his little one-on-one talk with the prophet on the street corner was, I mean, it was all right, but you need this dude standing on the street corner to look at you and go, hey, you know, people selling off their souls. Like, that's kind of a sign of the apocalypse, don't you think? You know, like, why do you need this guy to tell you that, Jesse? Dennis and Cassidy having a heart-to-heart through a perfect stranger who speaks French, which was funny and sad all at the same time, was pretty great. Again, Joseph Gilgan doing those like really, really subtle, quiet things so freaking well, and then going big with the no, like, no, I'm not gonna make you immortal. Like, you know, I'm sorry you're dying, but you don't understand the curse that that is, and I'm not gonna do that to you. You know, it's saying all of that without ever saying any of it. He's freaking brilliant, man. I'd like to say he's like the surprise of the show, but he really isn't. Because he was so freaking, I mean, he's been great in everything I've ever seen him in. But and he was great in season one, but I don't know, I feel like we're getting to like some emotional stuff with Cassidy in this season. Or season one, he was just kind of this guy that hung around Jesse and was like, you really want to do that? You know, why are we doing this? What's going on here? You know, and now he's more, we're kind of getting to more what he's actually about. Kind of with everybody, really. Except maybe Jesse, who feels more distant this season than he did last season. But I think that's because he's just focused on, I'm on a mission to find God. You know, what else happened in the episode? Oh, not to go back to the star stuff, but the pig, which was kind of funny. Like the beginning threw me off. Like the lady screaming, I was like, "What the hell is going on? Did you fall asleep?"
No. I'm listening to you.
No reaction to the pig.
No, I same reaction as you had. She starts screaming. I'm like, okay, somebody's obviously like dismembered or.
And it's just a floating pig. And Star shows up to investigate.
Yeah, so why was she screaming like that?
I mean, I guess she thought it was a demon or something. I don't know, man. The scream was a little much. And there was this kid wearing an Atlanta Falcons 2017 Super Bowl champions t-shirt that, you know, it was kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah, but I'm glad
Are you
you said
eating?
it. I'm
What are
yeah,
you
I'm eating
doing?
peanut butter crackers.
Why are you eating while we're
Sorry.
podcasting?
Because I'm hungry.
We could have not podcasted and you could have had dinner.
That's why I have my mic on mute. So I'm done.
I swear. So, yeah, him, and then he like slaughters the whole village, which, I mean, I understand, but again, This dude is ruthless and brutal, man, and sick and twisted, and has no boundaries on what he won't do, which is kind of why they came after him. It makes him perfect for this job. And we get the discussion of the Grail. Now, I don't remember if the name has come up in the show before, but the guys in white suits, that's the Grail. And there's different factions of the Grail, and but their main purpose is to facilitate, like the guy talks about, to facilitate the coming of Christ after the end of the world, which they believe is happening. So, you know, Star is very much blasé about all of the religious nonsense. He's just in it to like kill and torture people and also get laid, because he keeps like he brings that up like twice, doesn't he? Like women. I was told that there would be women. Which is funny because the guy interviewing him's like, we need pious people. I'm like, but he's just asking for prostitutes. But whatever. And all of that will come into play in some form or fashion. And it does big time in the books, his like sexual proclivities. I don't know how deep they'll be able to get into it in the show, though. So that is what it is. So it's revealed to him and to us that before Jesus died on the cross, that he gave birth to a child. Now, this is not like a new idea, because there's a lot of theories out there, like religious theories, and you see it kind of explored in Dogma, which this shares a little similarity to, only Preacher was much better written than Dogma. Not knocking Kevin Smith, I like Kevin Smith, but Dogma is just kind of this comedy with religious undertones. And Preacher like gets really, or the books at least got like really, really heavy into like religious mythology, for lack of a better word. So it's revealed that Jesus had a child, and that the line of Christ still exists, and these people are protecting it. Like, what did you think about that?
I really don't have any thoughts about it. I mean,
Well, you're contributing a lot to this episode.
I
You don't have anything to say about anything.
just kind of want to see where it goes. Don't think it's plausible or possible.
So, do you think that they're like pulling a fast one? Like
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
it's made up. They're just making up this thing, this mission to protect this person. Kind of smoke and mirrors, which a lot of people think that that's all churches are to begin with. Smoke and mirrors, you know, make
Yes,
people believe in
it's
the boogeyman slash,
Scientology.
so, you know.
Yes, it's Scientology and Christianity.
Well, it's going to be interesting when they explore more of that. I honestly hope that a lot of that comes about this season, but there's so much story with the Grail that I just either they're gonna have to like cut a bunch of it out, or they're gonna carry this storyline on for at least another season, if not two more seasons. because so much stuff happens. So it'll be fun to talk about. So all I'm gonna say is, well, no, I can't say anything, because if you haven't read the book, if you haven't read the book and you Google it, then it'll give away stuff. And if you have read the book, well, then you know what word I was going to say anyway. So I honestly can't believe that this show has not ruffled more feathers than, because, I mean, look, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, there was this damn campaign against the war on Christmas because of Starbucks's holiday cups, right? Like people, like Christianity, whatever, churches, religious groups, whatever, were making this huge deal out of the war on Christmas that does not exist. And, but meanwhile, we have a show on the air right now.
I'm watching on A&E on the same network.
No, AMC. I'm watching. It's not the same network.
Okay. Well, I thought it was. Anyways, on A&E, I'm watching Leah Remini.
Her Scientology show?
Yes. And I am just blown away.
It's weird, some of the similarities. So, you know, and how people, like, want to believe in stuff so much that they'll get caught up in the dumbest things, man.
Well, I mean, she was raised in that.
Yeah.
I mean, she was, like, brought up in that. Yeah. And she chose to escape it. So
that Scientology stuff is twisted.
It's ridiculous, dude. I mean, please watch it. Everyone, watch it.
Yeah. I guess if you're done watching Preacher, like, that's a good show to kind of follow up Preacher with. And be like, here's anything, a bunch of religious craziness.
Just anything Scientology, go watch it.
The documentary HBO is pretty intriguing, too.
It's not, and not even just about that.
Well, but you're talking about a whole different show. I don't understand.
Well, that, not even that. That's what I'm saying. Not even that religion.
No, they're up.
Any religion.
They're up in arms about that show, man. Scientologists.
Oh no, I know. I've been watching it, and I've been reading all kinds of stuff. So, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised she's not dead.
Well, she's such a high-profile figure. It would be, at this point, if something happened to her, it would be very, very, like, noticeable, you know?
Yeah, but I'm still surprised that she's not dead. Or someone in her family is not dead.
But yeah, my point was that how is this show on the air and it's not ruffled feathers to what seems like any degree at all? And I mean, either people aren't paying attention, or we've just gotten to a place where people are like, ah, whatever, you know. And I'm not sure which one of those is worse. I hope people are paying attention to the show. I mean, I know it's not The Walking Dead. You know, it doesn't have those numbers. But it's a great freaking show. And it's adapting fairly, I won't say faithfully, but pretty brilliantly, one of the greatest comic book stories of all time. And something that shows, like, what comics are truly, truly capable. Like, the kind of storytelling you can do there. And, you know, it's kind of designed to shake you. And especially if you believe in a lot of this stuff. Which, I mean, I'm straight up honest, I believe in a lot of that stuff. and it's designed to kind of like shake you and make you go, rethink what it is you're buying into. And nobody's talking about it. Or is it just because the guy who's running the country now is creating massively ridiculous headlines on such a daily, usually hourly basis at this point, that nobody has time to focus on anything else, you know?
Well, I could probably say both of those are accurate. So
I'm not sure if you guys know, but Ryan and I are going to be taking jobs in the White House. I mean, it's such a revolving door at this point that they're just hiring anybody. We can't
yes.
possibly say anything worse than what some of these people are saying.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I think you're wrong. I think this is the best episode of the series so far. It will be really, really tough to top it, especially in terms of introducing characters. I know we'd seen Star before, and it ends with Star basically getting a new mission that he's going to go after Jesse. So that's coming. And these two characters meeting is just, it's gonna be great, man.
I still think we're about three episodes away from the best episode of the series. So,
That's just a random prediction.
yeah, but let's see if it's ha if it happens.
Okay,
I
three
mean,
episodes from now, which would be two episodes of this podcast at the rate we're going. Ryan says will be the best episode of the season. I'm curious if it even has a title yet. So that's one thing about this show is like the titles don't spoil anything. You know, except for maybe Dallas, like, or when it's a place, it's
Dallas.
just like, okay, well, I guess they're going to that place. You know, Dallas was a flashback to Dallas. Mumbai Sky Tower was where that episode was. You know, Victor, oh, it's about some guy named Victor, you know, but it doesn't really. Pig, oh, there's a pig in the episode, you know. The next episode's called Holes, which is a great movie starring Shia LaBeouf. Maybe the only great movie he's ever done.
No faults.
What?
Look it up.
Look what up?
Look his movies up. That is not the only good movie he's ever done.
None of the Transformers were that good.
I
The
didn't
first one's
say
okay.
Transformers.
I mean, you're probably right. It's not the only great movie he's made. He was in Fury, the tank movie with Brad Pitt. That was really good.
He was in even the Disney movie was good.
Holes. That's what I'm talking about.
No.
What Disney movie?
The one based on his Disney TV
Even
show.
Stevens? That doesn't count.
Yes.
It was a TV movie.
It was a movie.
It doesn't count.
Yes, it
No, it
does.
doesn't. I swear. He's an iRobot, not a great movie. Constantine, not a great movie, but an okay one.
Good movie. Yeah, I like Constantine.
The Greatest Game Ever Played was a really good movie.
Yeah, that was the golf movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Holes, The Greatest Game Ever Played,
Even
and
Stevens,
nope.
on vacation, whatever it was called.
Nope. And Fury. He's been in three great movies and a bunch of really, really bad ones. So
Which I know this isn't him, but
you
M.
know he
Night
got arrested in
Shyamalan.
Savannah, right?
Do what?
Shia LaBeouf got arrested in Savannah.
For drunk driving?
No, drunken disorderly conduct.
Same thing.
No, he thankfully wasn't behind the wheel of a car. So, what were you going to say?
M. Night Shyamalan. I just read that he has a sequel. For Unbreakable.
You just read that?
Yeah, have you heard this?
I love it when people ask me, have I heard things?
Whatever, jerk off.
How am I being a jerk? Look, 2 years ago, I was still working at the pizza delivery place. With Ryan, we won't say where, even though I think people know, we probably said it at some point, sitting in the office, it was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I don't know, it was before The Force Awakens came out.
So close this, to three, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been, almost 3 years ago. This guy that worked there, who we've known forever, Robert, comes walking into the office with...
No, his name is Bergen.
Well, Bergen comes walking into the office with his phone and shoves it in my face and says, do you know about this? And I looked at it and I was like, know about what? And he's like, this! And he points at the screen and is like, Mark Hamill reprising his role as Luke Skywalker. Or Mark Hamill talks about reprising his role as Luke Skywalker. I was like, yeah. Knew about that like a year and a half ago when they announced it. Well, I mean, I didn't know anything about it. How do you not know? It's in the news. If you don't know, it's because you're not paying attention. Look up the movie Split. It came out at the end of last year.
That's why I know.
Have you seen it?
Because I saw Split.
Okay.
And I didn't see the movie, actually. I just saw...
Somebody spoiled it for you? And I was like,
what is Split? So I searched Split. And that's how I found out all the... Everything that's involved. So
yeah.
Carry on.
My point is, I just love it when people ask me, do you know about this? Like, yeah. But yeah, James McAvoy, Bruce Willis, Sam Jackson, all going to be in Glass, the sequel to Unbreakable and Split. So
that makes it a trilogy, correct?
Yes, his first trilogy.
I really think that's actually awesome news.
I think it's great news. What sucks is I still haven't seen Split.
Me either, but I have it, and now I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I got to bust it out. So, anyway... What were we, before we got off into, I don't know what we're talking about.
I don't know.
I watched the trailer to, Mr. Robot Season 3. Ryan refuses to watch it because he doesn't want to know anything about Season 3 going into it, which I can appreciate.
No, I just want to watch it. No.
But, the trailer does not give anything away. It is creepy as hell. And has me pretty excited. I mean, not that I couldn't, not that I wasn't already excited, and didn't get me more excited, but there's some imagery in the trailer that makes it look like a horror movie. And so, I don't know what we're in for this season, man. It's gonna be fun, though. So yeah, we'll be back. Maybe later this week, talking about the next episode of Preacher, which airs tomorrow night as we're recording probably tonight as you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on Monday, which hopefully I'll have it up on Monday. I've been kind of lax in getting podcasts up, but that's because I've been working from like 7 to 7 every day. So that's fun. But yeah, I guess we'll be back in a few days talking about the next episode, Holes. Oh, that's what I was looking up, what the third episode was going to be called. And you got distracted on me talking about Shia LaBeouf. Please nobody tell me his name is pronounced Shia LaBeouf. I know.
It's LaBeouf.
But I'm going to say LaBeouf. So, because I think he deserves to be called Shia LaBeouf. So, until he can get his crap together. So yeah, we're on Twitter at Mr. Robot Podcast. I think we have a few new followers, even though we never tweet. So hello, new followers, if you listen to the podcast. You can tweet me, like if you tweet me personally, I'll definitely see it. At Deadpool 1979, DEDPOOL 1979.
You can tweet me, but I won't tweet back, so what's the point?
I kind of feel like that was, I feel that way about this whole podcast. What's the point?
Actually, if you tweet me at Polk79, POLK79.
I think you should change your Twitter handle to Peanut Butter Crackers.
Yeah, I'm still eating them, actually.
I can tell. So can everybody else. The third episode, three more episodes from now. The name of the episode is Dirty Little Secret. So
I just ate all the peanut butter crackers. So next week, there will be no peanut butter crackers.
I doubt it. So, all right. We'll see you guys in a few days.
No, we don't have a video podcast.
I swear.
We'll hear from y'all in a few days.
No, we won't hear from them. Humperdido.
Y'all will hear from us in a few days.
Nobody Google that.
But he could not forgive her. Though he tried and tried. The halls of his memory still echo her lies. And he cried like a baby, and he screamed like a panther in the middle of the night. And he saddled his pony. He went for a ride. It was the time of the preacher in the year of 01. Now the lesson is over and the killing's begun.